This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Last week on this program, the author of The Grand Strategy for the United States in the 21st Century stressed the importance of sustainability if America is to remain the world leader it needs to be. A part of that vision, the one that he painted, was making sure that we cater to one of the major trends that has emerged in the last few years, a renewed focus on healthy urban cores. Well, Charlotte is on that bandwagon. The 2015 State of the Center City report says our downtown is booming. The newspaper described the growth as explosive, with nearly 2,000 hotel rooms coming online, along with 7,000 new housing units. For a downtown that was virtually dead in the 1980s, with no prospects for revival, what happened prior to the recession, combined with what is happening and is about to happen, is nothing short of miraculous. Here to talk about the remaking of Charlotte Center City is Michael Smith, president and CEO of Charlotte Center City Partners. You've had some bad news before when you've been on this program. There's nothing but good news today.
We are grateful for the period we're in now. It's good to be back talking about today.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here. Tom Murray is CEO of the Charlotte Regional Visitors Authority. Thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
John Boylan is president of Spectrum Properties. They are building 300 South Tryon, which is a 25-story, 21st century office complex, which we will talk about later on in the program. Thank you for being here.
Glad to be here.
And welcome back to Terry Shook. He's a founding partner of Shook Kelly, a perception design firm specializing in strategic consulting services, including branding, architecture, communication design, and interior design. He serves as principal in charge of their new urban planning and design group, with an emphasis on urban retail design and Main Street development, and he is the man responsible for South End.
No, there are many, many fathers for South End.
Well,
fortunate to be one of them.
I thought I'd see how you reacted to that. But welcome back. There was a suburban flight away from cities to suburbs throughout the 50s and 60s all over the country. Vibrant downtowns became ghost towns as people went from Main Street to malls. Now the reverse is happening in Charlotte. How much of that is happening because of demand for it to happen, for more urban lifestyle opportunities versus the kinds of planning that you guys do that maybe drive people to want this? Where is it coming from, I guess, is the question.
I think you've got this great combination of great planning and visioning and then completing of that visioning over the last three decades, combined with just demand. And what do the millennials want? We've seen a growth in our resident base of the 22 to 34-year-olds of 300% in the last 8 years. It's exciting the way we're kind of skating to where the puck was going to be.
Did you know that the puck was going to be there? I know you can look back and take credit for it. No one will know that you're lying. But, I mean, did you know it was going there when all these plans? Because it was a long period of time when we had these conversations about what are we going to do with downtown? Downtown is coming back. And people would say, I haven't been to downtown in 20 years. Who cares what they do? South End, when you look at South End in 1985,
oh, right.
It was horrible.
Yeah, and police wouldn't go there. I don't
that's
think
right. And so who would think that anybody would want to live there, work there, be there?
You know, I think if you look at great cities, though, Mike, when you live just in Charlotte during that time, we still have lots of people who travel to the great cities of the world and just revel in the urbanism that was there. The fact that you could, you know, get a cup of coffee, be part of a cafe society, go to a great performance, you stay in the hotel and say, wouldn't it be great to live here? These things now are seeping into the consciousness of everyone, not just the millennials, but also the boomers who have education, who have traveled, and say, this is the type of life I want. I'm tired of the suburban life. Please give me this. And they'll pay a premium for it. That's the beauty for this. This is a scarcity model. When you have places like, unlike, say, you know, we mentioned South Park earlier and other places, when you have the great urbanism of downtown, it's a scarcity model and people will vote with their wallets.
At the State of the Center City report last week, Governor McCrory was back in town. He spoke about economic development here and his plans for development statewide. And he mentioned that Charlotte's growth didn't happen by accident. It was thanks to hard decisions, partnerships, and visionary leadership. I'm sure he includes himself among those leaders when he was the mayor of Charlotte. Did those hard decisions get made primarily for business purposes, to attract more business to Charlotte, because there was a demand among businesses already here for more office space, et cetera, or were there other things at play?
I think it's all interconnected. And great downtowns are employment centers first. And if you get that right, then there's great jobs. So then there's the walkability to work. There's an employment base that ends up supporting hotels because of business travel, which great downtowns are built in layers of employment, of residential, of hospitality, of higher education. So they really all build upon each other.
But for years, this was an office park. At 5 o'clock, you could roll
well-dressed office park.
You could shoot a howitzer down Tryon Street after 5 o'clock and not hit anything because there was no traffic and there were no people, and that wasn't that long ago. So when it was an office park, why wasn't it vibrant? Why is it now vibrant? Why do we now see this need for multiple layers?
I think it was one decision at a time.
It was one decision at a time. And a man who's been lauded many times on this show, and I'll just have to pile on, is Hugh McCall. You go back to the early days when he would walk around this town. I remember being in the presence and say he was going to headquarter the largest bank in America in Charlotte. And if he was going to do that, we'd better start building a city that world talent would want to live in. Mm-hmm. So all those initiatives over the last 30 or 40 years have been one decision upon another to build this great complex urban environment we have now in Charlotte. It's like a coral reef, really. Think about it. If you go diving in a coral reef, you see the complexity of the small fish and the other creatures and the coral itself, all these things, you enjoy it. But in fact, each one is sensitive. Each one contributes to make this great whole. And that's what we're benefiting now in downtown Charlotte.
Cities never stop building, real cities. Never. They're always doing something.
Never complete.
Traffic patterns are changing. Buildings are going up. Buildings are coming down. Things that never were there before are now here. Where would you put us in our life cycle as a city? Are we at the beginning of something? Or are we in the middle of something? Where are we? Because we're not Atlanta yet.
We're a 250-year-old city. So we have a lot of history. There are a lot of great people that have come through and contributed to this city. But when you compare us to the greatest cities of the world, we're still a teenager. Mm-hmm. Now, what's beautiful about that is when we meet people that come to this city that relocate or that bring jobs or that come here fresh out of college, I explain to them that I've lived in a lot of cities, and this is one where you are part of making a great city. And that's exciting. And that's the kind of people that we attract to Charlotte.
Just a couple of years ago, the light rail line was considered a boondoggle. We had serious discussions.
For that, the trolley, the Charlotte Folly. I have those scars on my back.
People don't talk about that anymore because it's been a success beyond anybody's wildest imagination, not just as a transportation device, but as an economic development device. Will the extension of the line to the University City area, what kind of impact will that have, not only on the University City area, but on downtown Charlotte?
Oh, it's going to explode. I mean, to think about now with the light rail, you have a chance of integrating one of the other great spots of the center city, which is NoDa, which is very hard to get to. You almost need a GPS to get there, unless you really are in the know. But now to be connected with that light rail and to see the developments going on there and how people can now make a choice to live in downtown and perhaps even work in NoDa or live in NoDa and work in the downtown or the university, it's going to be an incredible expansion of this idea of this great connected urban place. It's no longer one note. It's going to be many notes.
John Boylan, you're building an office building downtown, and you have other projects scattered around Charlotte as well. What do things like light rail and the trolley, which we'll talk about in a second, what do they mean to people who will commit to building a 25-story office building? Is it important to them?
Well, sure it is. I mean, Michael mentioned the comment of connectivity, and that's really what you're trying to do, is make sure that when you're looking at a site, when you're going to put a development together, you got to make sure how do people get to you? What kind of decisions are people going to make? So everybody that offices in downtown Charlotte doesn't necessarily live in downtown Charlotte, doesn't necessarily live just around the ring. So because of that, when employers make those kinds of decisions, they want to make sure that they allow their employees the best avenue to get to work. And when you can make that decision, someone can make a decision in downtown and say, hey, we've got a great opportunity here. There's so many great amenities. It's a great office building to be in. And you as employees have multiple ways to get to us. You can't necessarily do that in other parts of the community.
When Washington, D.C. put the metro system in the 1970s, they put a system in. It didn't just go – it wasn't just the blue line or the gold line or the red line or the green line. It was all those lines all at once. Mm-hmm. I guess they're the federal government and they have all the money in the world. How important is the blue line to tourism, and how much better would it be if we had additional lines? For instance, a line to the airport, a line to Matthews, a line to Huntersville.
Well, I think tourism would love a line to the airport. Clearly, we have, you know, one of our biggest assets in our community is our airport. It is one of the top two or three reasons why meeting planners choose to come to Charlotte, our walkable downtown being the second. So clearly, anything we can do to make that easy or more innovative is, I think, is going to be very attractive to meeting planners and will help us to compete in a very competitive field.
In the State of the City report, I think you're estimating that you're projecting that when the Lynx opens to the university area, it'll have 24,000 riders every day. Are you being conservative there, because the projections for ridership on the current leg of that line were significantly under what they've turned out to be?
Yeah, those are that's the modeling provided to us by CATS, and they use the federal model to do it, and it is always very conservative. So I think our ridership will be more. And the beauty of this, the way it creates connectivity, is the hotels along the blue line all can become convention center hotels.
Mm.
Because now they can have a park once kind of visit to Charlotte or ride the taxi or right. whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's like a horizontal elevator for the hotels, really.
Right. Yes.
As we said, for people who didn't live here during the construction of the Blue Line, there was tremendous opposition to it and a lot of derision about it. And what we're hearing with regard to the streetcar is very reminiscent of that, perhaps more vitriolic. what do you think the impact of this streetcar is going to be?
Well, again, I think it will be incremental, and you'll see the same kind of dynamics of growth around the streetcar that we saw around the initial Charlotte Trolley, then the light rail line. It'll take its own form. But as I made the analogy about the coral reef, Mike, it's one of the many pieces now that we're adding to our table setting of this great urban city. You mentioned earlier about where we are in the lifeblood of cities. Cities are constantly changing. I mean, you look at some of our neighbor cities, such as Greenville, South Carolina, and Charleston, South Carolina. Both of those have tracked up. You take a city like Charleston, which, you know, clearly one of the oldest places around for America. You say, well, they had their tourism, they're one and done, right? You know, you can go there and enjoy the city. No, they're not giving up, and that's why we can't either.
No, and if you went there in the 1970s, Charleston is nothing like it is
absolutely
today. It was I went there in 1977 for the first time, I think, and I thought, so this is Charleston? What's the big deal? And now it is a big deal.
It is a big deal, and now I was down 6 months ago. Mayor Riley had me down for an economic development day because – they're seeing tremendous growth on the peninsula coming from a business standpoint because of quality of life. Mm. People are coming there for high tech from the West Coast now. It's not just the Boeing effect. And that's why all these initiatives that we have done and we will continue to do, such as the rail trail, you know, talk about a great piece of urbanism. We need to do that because that's going to be our river.
We're going to talk about the rail trail. We're going to talk about tourism. We're going to talk about the need for business opportunities downtown in terms of space and other aspects. And we're going to talk about why you called this a defining period, Michael, for Center City when we come back at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Black Hawk Hardware, located in the Park Road Shopping Center, locally owned and mismanaged since 1977. Black Hawk, where hardware, home, and garden meet. Info at blackhawkhardware.com. When we buy things, we pretty much know the cost or we don't buy it. But that's not the case with healthcare. Finding out what things cost in that world is nearly impossible. And the costs vary wildly. All most people know is that healthcare is expensive and that the costs are rising. Even after the first year of the Affordable Care Act, more people are insured, but that has not done anything to contain costs. Why are healthcare costs so difficult to pin down? We look at that and more tomorrow. at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, President Obama proposes to greatly expand wilderness protection within the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, an area thought to be rich in oil and gas. The move is strongly opposed by some congressional Republicans. Debate over new conservation designations in Alaska.
Join the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon on 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the state of the Center City of Charlotte and the 2015 State of the Center City Report, which was delivered by Michael Smith last week. He's the president and CEO of Charlotte Center City Partners. Tom Murray is with us, CEO of the Charlotte Regional Visitors Authority. We'll talk about convention and visitor tourism business here in a little bit. John Boylan is president of Spectrum Properties. They are building 330 South Tryon. Did I get the address right?
300. Yes.
That's the 300 block of South Tryon, right? Where is that building going to be?
It's right on the block. It's right on the block where there's been a vacant parking lot that sits there.
Where the trucks are, the food trucks are.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And Terry Shook is the founding partner of Shook Kelly, and he was responsible in large part, although he won't take credit for it, for the development of South End and a lot of other things. In that Center City report last week, you said, Michael, Center City is in a defining period. Is that something new to this year's report? Did you say the same thing last year? And if not, if it's new this year, why are we in a defining period?
It was a deep and painful recession.
Mm-hmm.
And no, we did not say that last year. When you look at the balance of the hotels that are being built, 36% increase with what's being built, this incredible 7,000 residential units, 2.9 million square feet of office, which will be a 12% increase in our Class A office space. You start to put all these pieces together, and then as we look back a decade from now, two decades from now, this is going to be one of those periods where our Center City took shape to what it is becoming.
I don't know that this is in the report, but I think you are quoted in the paper as saying, Center City Charlotte is ushering in a new period of change, growth, and sharing. You said that. What do you mean by sharing?
Well, the fun part about what we do in city building is with each investment, it ushers in new people, because it's not about the things we're building. It's about the people that come with it, because great places are made by the people that share it together. Mm-hmm. So we will have new investors building hotels. Their job now is going to be to bring more guests to Charlotte. Mm-hmm. We're going to have new office towers built. Their job will be to bring more employees. And the residential, more people to the neighborhood. You end up creating this incredible soup that is Charlotte.
Prior to the recession, there were more construction cranes downtown than there were buildings. It was unbelievable. And then suddenly it stopped. You're saying that this year, I believe, we're going to see construction cranes in every corner of Uptown and South End. How many different projects will be underway sometime in 2015?
Let me see the number. It's got to be. It's incredible.
There's 28 residential projects that are either under construction right now or starting soon. There's six or seven office projects that have been announced. We've got two that are under construction right now. Hotel.
There's an Embassy Suites.
Probably 10 hotels, yeah.
There's an Embassy Suites going up right across the street from the NASCAR Hall of Fame. How tall will that be? How many rooms?
I think the rooms are going to be close to 250.
Will they need those rooms to service the NASCAR Hall of Fame?
We need those rooms for our convention business for sure. There is a challenge in the convention business for us right now. We just have not enough hotel rooms to serve the demand. Last year we lost the chance at getting 120 different convention projects because we couldn't get the room block together. So that was 198,000 rooms. So
wow.
That's why you're seeing the construction cranes going up, is that people are understanding and seeing the dynamics and the fundamentals of the hotel industry right now and saying, this is a good place to get good return on
my investment. So what's it like to go out and sell Charlotte and then lose the deal because you can't assemble enough hotel rooms for it?
Well, it's what we do all the time. It's a little frustrating, but we have to change our target. We target smaller conventions. Target conventions that fit into need periods. We particularly go after weekend business, which is a need period for the hotels. Mm-hmm. There's such strong commercial demand during the midweek because of the business environment that the weekends are really a good target for us. And so we go after amateur sports, for instance.
We sometimes lose business, as you say, because we don't have the hotels. We can't put together the blocks of rooms that a convention or an organization needs for what they want to do. How many things do we lose because we don't have downtown retail or enough things for people to do when they're not at their meetings?
I can't think
of it. Or when their wives or their husbands are not at the meetings.
I can't think of a time where we specifically lost a piece of business because of downtown retail, but we do hear in the comments that they wish there was more. One of our biggest features and our biggest assets is the walkability and the vibrancy and the action that's going on in our downtown area. And that you know, it's so easy to sell the city if we could just get the meeting planner to come here. Mm-hmm. And once they arrive, they say, oh, wow, we didn't really believe you were telling us the truth. And when they actually see what it is, they're pretty excited. All the different amenities, all the different sports facilities, all the different 150 restaurants downtown, the Epicenter, the North Carolina Music Factory, the NASCAR Hall of Fame. There are just tons of things for folks to do when they come in. And I got to tell you, in the NASCAR Hall of Fame, just about every convention that comes into town has their signature event at the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Last year, we did over 300 events at the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
Well, let me ask you a question about that, because they say that it's not making any money, and it's not making any money on the gate. People aren't coming to the NASCAR Hall of Fame strictly to tour it. Is that true, first of all? But secondly, when you book an event in there, and I guess they have the run of the place when they book an event, they're not paying the admission price, are they?
They are paying the admission price.
They are.
And
so why are we losing money on it then?
Well, we thought there was going to be different results when they did the Hall of Fame originally. Mm-hmm. Just recently, we renegotiated the structure around the Hall of Fame, and we predict we will be making money now. Yeah. Or near break even, so we're excited.
Are we not making money because the deal wasn't good enough, wasn't realistic enough in terms of the people who want to come in there and use it, or are we not making money because not enough people want to come in and use it?
I think we were challenged to make money because there was so much optimism about the amount of profit that would be generated that they thought they could underwrite some of the debt with the operations, and that was the wrong decision. And so we changed that decision recently. And so to remember that 93% of the debt is still being paid by the 2% tax and the convention center tax. So that debt is in fine shape and there's no risk, but there was optimism in the piece that we negotiated recently.
That's another example of people going, this is never going to work. You can lump it in with the Lynx Blue Line. You can lump it in with the trolley. You can lump it in with the Whitewater Center, which is now doing well. Will we be able to look back in 10 years and say, yep, the NASCAR Hall of Fame, as bad as it looked in the beginning, was a good decision?
Yeah, I think you can look at it today that way. We're just getting ready to celebrate our induction ceremony, inducting up to now 30 Hall of Famers. When you look in the face of the inductees and realize that's the most important thing that's happened to them in their lives, you realize it is an important that we did it. When you look at the 26,000 jobs that are here in North Carolina in the motorsports industry, mm-hmm. you understand how important it is that it is here. When you look at an industry that has been a big part of our community, our network, you understand why it's here. And so I think I've been asked before, would you do it all over again? Absolutely, we'd do it all over again.
Exactly.
It is huge to us from a convention and visitor sales perspective.
It's also a great building.
It's fantastic.
I mean, that and the Mint and the Beckler just add immensely to the look of the city.
Well, your comments, Michael, point out, there will always be the critics that look at things in isolation. You know, they always want to say, you know, people know the cost of everything, the value of nothing, the old cliche. But it's so true when it comes to urban environments. because things like you could level that at almost any cultural facility that we built at one time, you know, in its history. Mm-hmm. You can do it at the NASCAR Hall of Fame. You can do it with transit, all these things. But the whole point is the connectedness of these things. They have a multiplier effect taken together. If you isolate them at any given point in time, you'll say, well, why would you do that? But that's why you have to look at these things, as I said, as complex, value-based ecosystems that people who crave a strong and vibrant urban environment will want to come to. You can't look at things like a suburban model.
We put a question out there on Facebook and Twitter. What do you think has been the most important growth we've seen in Charlotte Center City, and what do you think is still missing? And you can send your thoughts to us via Facebook or Twitter at WFAE, and we'll get to them on the air in a few minutes here. John, Spectrum Properties has this project underway, 300 South Tryon, described as a 21st century office project. Talk about that. What makes it so?
Well, you got to start with the basic location of the property. I mean, if you look at the location at 3rd and Tryon, it's connecting our main street, Tryon Street, back to Romeo Bearden Park, which then goes to the ballpark. So we are creating that last missing link that takes Tryon Street back into that quadrant. So from that perspective, you really start with a great, great piece of dirt and a great location. So from that perspective, as people are looking and they're saying, you know, what do we want from an office location? Where do we want our employees to be? And from that perspective, we really start with a great foundation. So with that, you have amenities around you, you have a great piece of dirt, you have a great location, and you're going to start and you're going to build from there. From that, we're building a building. We're building it. It's going to be 26 stories. We're building footprints. It's a great architectural building. It's a great design. LS3P did a fantastic job with the design of that building, and we're really excited about it. But it's an efficient building the way you're building buildings now. We've got a great core. It's very open. It's a lot of light. We got 10-foot glass windows. So because of that, we're going to create a great environment for people to come in for flexibility. When you look at other developments in the past, the way the old of having a big corner office in the corner and sitting there, that's not how people are using space anymore. And we're designing this building so it can create the most amount of light, the most flexibility we have with that. We're going to have a great rotunda, a great entrance off of Tryon, where it's going to be very appealing to come in. We're going to have a great winter garden in the lobby of the building. So when people come in, they're going to feel comfortable. They're going to be able to sit down. They're going to be able to work there. We've got Wi-Fi connectivity, so anybody that's in their office up in the building can come down and be able to work. So we're going to encourage people to use the common areas of the building as an extension of their offices.
Any retail on the street level?
We are going to have retail. We're going to have a signature restaurant that we're in the process of bringing a restaurant to Charlotte that we don't think exists right now.
You can tell us what it is.
Well, we don't know what it is.
Oh,
yet.
Darn.
But well, I tell you what we're doing. We're going about it a little bit differently. We're going about this where we've hired a consultant to come in and help us find a great spot for that location, something that Charlotte doesn't have. Instead of just going out and saying, hey, what's the latest, greatest restaurant out there, we're really going to be much more thorough about this.
We have a 5.8% vacancy rate among office buildings. Put that into perspective. That's a good number, isn't it?
Matter of fact, it's to the point now that it's gotten so low that it's really, from Michael's perspective, it's really, you know, when you're out recruiting, it's really too low.
And that's despite the fact that we're losing Chiquita as a corporate headquarters. That space will be open. It doesn't matter. That's not going to put
a
dent in that.
Well, you know, if you take a look at it, we're at 5%. Most average CBDs of similar cities in the country are well into 12, 14, 15%. I mean, we have an inventory problem. So if Chiquita is going to be vacating that space, that's a block of space at a price point that someone's going to come in and be attractive. So we, you know, the way we look at it is, you know, We're excited about our location. You know, we are creating the top of the market, though. This is a Class A, Double A property.
What does that mean to somebody who doesn't know? I don't know what you're talking about. So what does
that
mean?
Well, I don't know if you look at it from a car perspective. I mean, okay. We are building
it's a Mercedes.
We are building the best car that you can build.
Okay.
And that's because of the location. It's because of the quality.
And I read, according to the State of the Center City report, the highest demand for office space in Charlotte is for Class A space above the 10th floor. What is it about the 10th floor? A view?
It's your view corridor is what it is. And what happens when you
building is 25 to 50 stories, what's the special about the 10th floor?
Well, what happens is that a lot of it is it's your elevator brakes. A lot of your elevator brakes start at about the 10th to 12th floor. And you've usually filled a building up from the top to the bottom. So that's the most attractive space that people want in a building. Hmm. So that's why you start.
And this goes online. When will it open?
We're going to open in the first to second quarter of 2017.
Oh.
That's where we're going to open. Okay. So,
how many other office buildings are there? If we have such a significantly low vacancy rate, that means that the need for office space is prime. I guess, is it really prime in a world where people are now working at home and they're telecommuting and things live in the cloud? Do we need all this office space?
Well,
really?
I would tell you that when you go back and you think everybody thought that office buildings were going to be just fall to the ground and nobody's going to use them, everybody's going to work from home. Well, that's really not the case. You're actually seeing a trend where people are coming back to the office, where you can work anywhere now. Everybody's got a phone, everybody's got a PDA, everybody's got an iPad, everybody's got a laptop. So you can really work anywhere. But what people miss is that connectivity and the creativity of being around other people's to be able to collaborate. Mm-hmm. And people are coming back. Matter of fact, you're seeing companies around the country that are pushing. I think it was Yahoo?
Yeah, Amazon.
Amazon. I mean, there's big companies that are making major changes and saying, we don't want people working at
home. And that's why the great connected street is important proposition to your business, office building.
That's exactly right. So people are coming back because they want to be in an environment. They don't want to be tethered, though. That's the thing about the new generation. They don't want to be tethered. They want to be able to move freely around their spaces. That's why I mentioned the way spaces are being designed. They're much more open. They're cube-based, where somebody can grab and say, hey, let's talk about this. Let's strategize about this.
Here's why this is so exciting, is this is not a story of the center city of Charlotte. This is a Charlotte story. 48% of our Class A office space is in Uptown. And we have to have this space in order to recruit new jobs. So we've got 22 million square feet. We've got three new towers that have been announced and look like they're coming forward. We have to have that product because just like Tom will miss opportunities to bring conventions to town, we have relocation consultants that are passing over Charlotte because our vacancy rate's below 6%. We have to have new product.
Well, if you look at job growth, all right, let's talk about what our job growth has been in this area. So let's use a number. Let's say it's, for easy numbers, let's say it's 20,000 people, which is low. I think that's going to be a low number. If you look at it, about 25% of job growth goes to office space in rough numbers, okay? So you take that 25%. So all of a sudden, that's a quarter. So that's five. Let's just say 5,000 of those jobs are going into office space. You say, let's be conservative, let's say 200 square feet a person. What that? All of a sudden, you're at a million square feet or more, a mm-hmm. million and a half square mm-hmm. feet. And then people just don't automatically lease everything they need day one because it's a 5 or 10 year lease. So they build in 20-25%. So all of a sudden, we need a million and a half to 2 million square feet, particularly in this part of the cycle where, you really got strong job growth. So because of that, we need to deliver this kind of space. That's why we're so bullish about this.
How many square feet will that building have?
600,000 square feet, but with 200,000 feet of it's gone.
Wow. But you're putting a dent in the need.
We are putting a dent in the need.
We have to take a break. We'll come back and talk more about tourism and transportation and other things as well in a moment. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, providing comprehensive care for infants to seniors, including audiology, allergy, cataracts, diabetic eye care, glaucoma, and sleep medicine. Details at goodsenses.com. President Obama is proposing to greatly expand wilderness protections within the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, an area thought to be rich in oil and gas, and that move is strongly opposed by some congressional Republicans. So on the Diane Rehm Show today, they will take a look at the debate over new conservation designations in Alaska. That's coming up in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock. And if you'd like to join our conversation, Charlotte Talks at WFAE.org or WFAE on Facebook or Twitter will get you to us. And we are coming right back.
This is Robert Siegel of NPR News.
This is Renee Montagne.
Hi, this is Jack Speer.
I'm Della Friedman.
Hi, this is Lakshmi Singh from NPR News.
Familiar and trusted names you hear every day on WFAE. Programming costs money, and that money comes from listeners who value what they hear and want to help pay for it. How about you? Join us at WFAE.org.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the health of the downtown area, the Center City, based on the Center City report for 2015, which was remarkably good. Michael Smith is the CEO and president of Charlotte Center City Partners. They produce that report every year. Tom Murray is CEO of the Charlotte Regional Visitors Authority. John Boylan, president of Spectrum Carolinas, and Terry Shook, founding partner of Shook Kelly. We asked, what do you think has been the most important growth we've seen in Charlotte Center City? What do you think is still missing? And here's what we're getting back. John, on Facebook, street-level shopping. Any plans to address that?
Absolutely. We've got an individual on our team, Chris Hemmons, who's dedicated to this. We know that it's the missing link. And the reason people love retail so much is it animates the streets while creating jobs. I mean, what's not to love about that? It makes the neighborhood stronger. Mm-hmm. It makes us a better destination. And it also strengthens our office environment. It hits on all fronts.
And what drives that? Obviously, we have this mysterious shopping opportunity on the first level of all these towers inside that nobody knows about unless you're a native. but what drives that? Is residential development driving the need for shopping downtown, or is it tourism that drives the need for shopping downtown?
All three, really, from the office standpoint. And the problem is a lot in terms of market research. A lot of the retail market research has been more suburban-oriented, where you look at it from the standpoint where it purely is the residential. But there's enough evidence now in the whole void analysis, the market analysis one does for retail, is recognizing the value of shopping in Center City. Like, for example, what people don't realize, you go to like Charleston, I'll mention that again, you go to King Street. You have all the major brands on King Street that are in any mall, but their market trade area is about 600 miles. That's been demonstrated. Mm. That people will go buy the Bananas and the Gaps and other places because it's the environment they're in. From a tourism standpoint, you know, you will see those kinds of dynamics unfold once they're there, once they're here with the people who come in. There will be people who will drive by malls within just to come to shop in downtown Charlotte, the same way they come to sports, same thing they come to arts, the restaurants.
One of the things that people complain about downtown is parking because they don't know how to navigate the parking decks and they don't want to pay. They're used to going to South Park and sitting there all day for free. And here it's like $5 an hour, which is cheap, by the way, when you think about what parking in New York City costs per hour. But still, it's money. Any plans to address that issue if you want to attract people down here to shop who don't live or work here?
We conducted a study a year and a half ago of retail in Uptown and South End. And there's about 2 million square feet in both locations. So there are great options, mostly local purveyors mm-hmm. that are here that you can come and support and be a part of. And it's an exciting environment. We do have a strategy going forward. The report said there's about 335,000 square feet of new retail we could support today in Uptown and about 200,000 in South End. We have to come forward with a strategy that looks at parking that is oriented towards retail. Mm-hmm. And there's 50,000 spots Uptown. So, and there's lots of on-street parking that's free after 5 and before 9 in the morning and free on weekends. There are good options. We also need to look at what are we requiring to be built so that we have a planning approach that thinks about what other tools can we use to create the environment we want.
Back to our comments from listeners. Rashan on Facebook, affordable child care is something that we need. Claire on Twitter, we need more green space in Uptown. Well, Romare Bearden Park just came online. They're building a park right across
Ward Park,
right down the street here. I don't think people realize it, but they've closed off Brevard and between UNC Charlotte's Uptown campus and the Children's Theater and Imagine On, there's going to be a park, a big one.
Yes. And then the alternative to the Pure Green Park is the urban experience, which is our rail trail, which is very much like the High Line.
You were on the show.
Yes.
We did a whole hour on the rail trail, but people may have missed it. The rail trail goes from South End to Uptown, and
correct,
talk about how it's going to work.
Well, you know, and Michael, please chime in, because this is really the brainchild of Center City Partners, and it's being nursed along by them with the help now of the county. But it's the idea, Mike, of taking and creating this great urban way, which is infused with retailing, infused with restaurants, infused with moments where you can rest and you can engage with people in many ways. You got to sit there and read the book. You can sit there and engage in art projects. It's the idea that urban dwellers really don't need only green space for a park, that a park can exist in a very tight linear fashion, these episodes that you can experience along the way.
The High Line is what is going,
yes,
on in New York City, where,
correct,
they took an abandoned rail line and made it a park, a linear park.
That they did.
And it's used frequently by pedestrians and by bicyclists and people who just go flower shopping and things like that.
It's a legitimate destination now on its own in a city that has many.
How do you cross 277 with this rail trail?
Well, there's a plan. There are bridges there, you know, currently that in many ways I would posit, and I think even Danny Pleasant, our great director of CDOT, would say some of these things are too wide. That's the beauty of it. We built a lot of bridges and roads in Charlotte that are really too wide in the standpoint of promoting walkability and bikeability. So if we start to look at the real estate we have on bridges and start using it more effectively, we've already built the platform, we can get in and around. There's a plan to do that.
Okay. And that goes online. Is it being built as we speak in pieces?
It is currently online. It is currently being used. There is a new framework plan that has been published, and that we're planning on having three of the episodes come online in this next year.
Okay.
And maybe a fourth one you and I will talk about.
There you go. I like to hear it. Announced today.
Dan on Twitter, residential density, historic preservation. Oops, too late for that. Public green space, connectivity with adjacent neighborhoods. Dan, can't think of his name now. Dan Morrill, thank you, Maura. Dan Morrill would take issue with Dan's comment that we've gotten rid of all of the historic preservation. He says there's plenty of it around. You just have to look to find it.
Well, it changes. I mean, when we live in an era now where early McDonald's go on the National Register of Historic Places, so history is a fungible commodity.
That's
it,
right,
changes with time.
But speaking of residential, in 2004, there were about 5,000 residential units downtown. We added 6,000 in the following decade, so that by 2014, there were 11,000 housing units downtown. That's 113% growth in a decade. That seems enormous to me, is it?
It was enormous, but now we've got another 7,000 units coming online. We'll have 15,000 and up to 25,000 across Center City and South End by the end of 15.
South End is unbelievable, what's going on the west side of South Boulevard, with apartments that go from 277 to about the Pepsi plant and beyond now.
Yes.
On whatever that street is, Marsh Road. Can we handle all those people? There's like 5,000 apartment units going up. How are they going to get around? You didn't widen South Boulevard. What's wrong with you people? How are they going to get around?
That's a good question. Here's what will happen. Yes. It will seem to people, I think, in this growth of this maturity of South End, that things will get worse before it gets better. But the key is, see, most of the people, once we become a fully fledged urban environment, like I mentioned, the coral reef, where you do have job opportunities that are more accessible, more easily, you know, by the rail line. I said, why would I want to deal with a car? You know, I'll take the rail. Where there's retail opportunities there, I'll walk the two or three blocks to my retail. I'll walk to my restaurants.
So what you find,
bikeability. So what you'll find, it will get tense to a point, and it will level off, and it will be a true urban environment. Then people will start acting more in a multimodal way. I'll tell you this, we haven't even talked about it, but the whole phenomenon of Uber, because the next, it's so funny, remember a few months back, Google showed the little cute little Google car. It looked like something out of a Disney movie.
Right.
And people said, well, who's going to buy that car? Well, they're not trying to sell it to you. That's the future of taxi service. Remember, I'm old enough to remember we used to ride an elevator, and there was a person in there that would operate the elevator for you.
Right.
Well, the taxis in the future, in the not-too-distant future, will be those little cars, and they'll be on demand. They'll run around, and it will then, you know, create a whole new level of dimension, how you navigate an urban environment. Stay tuned for the future.
Well, there are these 5,000 apartment units going up in South End. There are 28, if I'm right about this, residential complexes either under construction or proposed for Center City. 28.
Yes.
That is enormous. Are they all high-rises? Are there some mid-rises? Are there low-level units? What are they?
It's all the above. I mean, it's stick-built on top of a cement parking deck. There are high-rise glass and steel. It's a good blend. We are now starting to see some pressure again for condos coming back. So we've got a lot of for rent.
Well, that was my next question. Everything's gone to apartments in South End and also uptown. And in a suburban neighborhood, you start to get concerned when there are more rental neighbors than there are owner neighbors. That's not the case in an urban environment?
This is a national phenomenon. And this is the cycle that we're in. But hold tight, because not all of these will stay for rent. You will see some of those that were built in a—
built
in
to
a,
convert.
Yes.
Frankly.
So they'll go from apartments to
most
condos.
Of the, as architects, most around. Of the products that multifamily developers do, they're built and start as apartments first, but they're designed in such a manner that you can convert them to condominium as a sales.
We have a dearth of affordable housing in Charlotte, and I think people would be curious to know, as we bring all these new units online, be they apartments or condos, uptown or in South End, are we displacing people from affordable housing to build these, or are we creating new living spaces where none existed before? And how affordable are these units?
This happens because we make wise investments in infrastructure, and equity and developers and debt like our market. That's what's occurred. So much of this development has occurred along our blue line to the south. And that was an area that was ready for redevelopment. It was a lot of light industrial, a lot of warehouses. I don't think there was a lot of displacement at all.
I don't think there was any to think of to this stage. And that's why, you know, I was also on the show talking about Brightwalk, if you remember, Mike, the idea that you think about what constitutes the center city, the urban Charlotte, is actually larger than the downtown and South End. And I think our city are making decisions to accommodate many people.
And Brightwalk is to the north. So
yes.
Can we talk about North End? Can we talk about
yes.
what is now being called the West End as opposed to the West Side? Mm-hmm. Any plans for that? Because particularly the West End seems to be neglected, or they certainly feel unjustifiably so neglected.
It's the next frontier. It is so exciting what is going on the West Side and the area that we call the Applied Innovation Corridor, which is our North End. It'll be enveloped between the Blue Line Extension and the Red Line, the commuter rail to the north. It is a great area with a natural form of workforce housing and great pods for kind of the middle-class jobs of the 21st century. It is a incredible opportunity for our community.
Let me go back to things that people are saying on Facebook and Twitter and email. Karina on Twitter, local performing arts. We need more of that. Local crafts, local flavor. Charlotte Uptown looks like anywhere USA. Can we address that? Will that be addressed as we continue to go on building?
I would hope so. I'll pause it. I'll throw something out there on the table, you know, now that I've wanted to see a collaboration between between Johnson and Wales and between the Gantt Center to have a great gathering place that combines local food with regional music, but whether it be gospel to soul to rap and everything. Wouldn't that be a great gathering place to have on the street that represents Charlotte?
You know, one thing I would say is there's a nice vision that's coming together for the North Tryon area. It's a great collection of 22 institutions. You know, this is four blocks from Trade and Tryon. And the vision will be shared. We hired a group called MIG out of Berkeley that worked on 2020 with us. And there is so much acreage and so much great concentration of development in these four or five blocks kind of north and then, you know, five, six blocks east and west for us to create a new palette. And I think there'll be exciting opportunities for us to address some of those concerns in that area.
Paul, on Twitter, safe, convenient access for pedestrians and bikes into uptown, gateways and overpasses are all car-centric. Car-free entry and network opens the city to us all.
We as a city are working on that. Again, I mentioned earlier, I mean, Danny Pleasants, we're fortunate to have a great director of CDOT. Yes. And we are patiently making inroads in that one street, one block, you know, one modality at a time.
The Cross City Trail, which was part of the last bond referendum, part of the CIP.
It is. We've already said that we need more hotel rooms. It is said that we need a 1,000-room hotel. I'm not sure why we need a 1,000-room hotel. As long as more hotels come along, maybe you can answer that, Tom. But aside from places to stay, what do visitors want out of downtown Charlotte?
Well, on the 1,000-room hotel side, it's not so much what the convention visitor wants, it's what the decision-maker wants. The meeting planner wants to deal with large hotels. It's easier for them to manage their jobs. And so a lot of communities that we compete with are aggressively doing that. So Austin, Indianapolis, others are all building those kind of hotels, Nashville. So,
how important to visitors and to convention business are the Hornets, the Panthers, the Knights, the Blumenthal, and the shows they bring in, the Music Factory, Actors Theater, the Epicenter?
Very. It's all important. Visitors are all different from each other. They all have different desires and needs. But things like the Knights Stadium, we know a lot of conventioners went over to watch games during the season. We know that there is activity where folks can go and buy tickets to go to the Hornets games or the Checkers games. All these things are part of the fabric that make Charlotte a destination. We say Charlotte's got a lot, and that is one of the things that makes Charlotte successful.
Hornets tickets. I have clients that plan meetings with me whether or not they can get the tickets or not.
We have 30 seconds. Google is going to announce today, in all likelihood, that Charlotte is going to get high-speed internet access. What impact, if any, will that have on the city and on the downtown area?
Huge.
Why?
It's infrastructure, and it's 21st century infrastructure. The more that we're able to provide that level of connectivity and broadband service, it's a rich part of the story we're trying
to tell. It's up to Korea now.
Are you confident they're going to say yes today?
No comment.
Okay. They're going to say yes today. Michael Smith, President and CEO of Charlotte Center City Partners. Tom Murray, CEO of Charlotte Regional Visitors Authority. John Boylan, President of Spectrum Carolinas. And Terry Shook, founding partner of Shook Kelly. Thank you all for the hour.
Charlotte Tom.